You have found the Business Broker Growth Show with your host, Jason Cutter. This is the podcast for brokers who are ready to stop hoping for deals and start growing their pipeline. Our goal is to bring you strategies, stories, and insights that will be a catalyst to move you quickly from transactional deal makers to trusted advisors. Time for business broker growth.
So picture this scenario. You're sitting on your couch. It's Sunday afternoon. You just want to relax and you know that you have a big week coming up. So you're just trying to settle in, but your mind is just nagging you over and over again about unfinished things. It could be small. It could be large. It's those things that just keep looping in your mind. It's clean up this or fix that or move this or reorganize that. It's the person you've been meaning to call or text, and it's just in your mind. And you keep processing it. And it's called an open loop because it just keeps looping over and over again. As you sit there on the couch on a Sunday afternoon, for some people, as they're trying to go to sleep at night, some in the middle of the night, they wake up, some in the morning. As soon as you wake up, your mind just starts spinning and spinning and spinning in these open loops. And the challenge is that as humans, we like to finish things. Now, a lot of people pride themselves at being starters and they know that they're not finishers. But as a human, in your mind, it wants to close those loops. It wants to finish those off, and it truly hates open loops. And hates is a strong word, and it's true. The research has shown several things happen when you have open loops that need to be closed. The pressure on your brain can cause cognitive overload, which is essentially where it's this tense, active state because of these open loops, and your brain is just in this overload state because of all these tasks. The second way is decision fatigue. And with decision fatigue, what happens is because your mind is constantly spinning on loops over here, it's tough for you to make decisions over there. And this could show up when you need to make decisions in the moment. Maybe it's work, maybe it's personal. Decision fatigue is also tough, especially at the end of the day, if you have a lot of open loops, because now instead of choosing dinner or what to watch, you get stuck in this loop of, I don't know, or let's do this. It could also be where instead of choosing the healthy things that you know you should be eating, you just decide not to. You pick something easy, probably something bad for you. And then the third thing is increased anxiety. With these open loops, your brain is essentially in a heightened state. Again, it's this cognitive overload as well. And because of that, it's always on alert. It's on alert for things to finish, to close off. And it feels like there's these things that are just nagging, and it can lead to anxiety, heightened level of internal stress and pressure, where you just feel this background tension. Sometimes you might not even know why you have that feeling, why you have this like intense, tense feeling internally. And part of it could be these open loops, things you know you need to resolve, you need to close, you need to move on from, and they're just there. Now, there's actually a name for these open loops and all of these effects. It's called the Zeigarnik effect, and it's your brain's tendency to remember unfinished business and things that it wants to do and complete. And if we think about survival and evolution and getting things done so you can move on, obviously it's so important. Now, here's the thing. What's the solution for this? There's a lot of people who pride themselves in procrastination as well. The solution is just getting shit done. Just close loops. Just get it done. Fundamentally, start with the small things. And by starting with the small things, it's really just whatever you can get done as quickly as possible. It's fascinating because I've read several times that Jeff Bezos, the way that he starts his day, instead of this whole like waking up super early and doing a whole bunch of stuff, what he does to start his day is he wakes up, he hangs out, reads the news, and then he calls it puttering time, where he's just going around the house, getting things done and puttering and putting things away or whatever. And part of that is a great way to start some momentum in your day because you feel like you're actually getting some stuff done. The other part that's super important is closing loops. If you work from home like I do, and you know downstairs there is unfinished things like I do, or dishes that need to be put away, or this needs to happen, or this is there and it's unresolved, you might not think about a lot. You might be able to focus, but it's still there and it's looping in your mind. And so really, where can you just get as much stuff done as possible to help close those loops? Just get it done. There's also a thing that I saw that if there's something that takes 2 minutes or less to get done and you do not do it, then you are choosing to procrastinate. Like that's like the definition of procrastination is because it takes 2 minutes or less, just do it. Whatever it is, if it's sending that text, if it's sending that message, if it's picking up that thing, if it's, you know, getting whatever it is, changing a light bulb, whatever that thing is that's on your mind, if you see it, just get that done. Part of this, I know, will feel like a distraction. Like I should be working and I shouldn't be changing this light bulb or dealing with these dishes or sending this text to a family member. But you need to understand that the drain of those open loops are causing this weird cognitive effect, this overload, this anxiety, this decision fatigue that is then affecting you in work because you can't focus. The more you can get things done and close those loops, the more you can focus because your brain is not on the hunt for things that it needs to resolve because that hunt in your mind is causing a lot of stress that you don't understand. Now, let's talk about why I'm talking about this on this video for business brokers. Now, first off, I love sharing things like this because I think it's really important. It's things that I've learned over the years that have helped me, especially if I'm feeling overwhelmed and stressed about a list and a lot of things to do. Some of it, you know, it's, you know, like they say, Brian Tracy says, eat the frog first, right? At the start of the day, do the hardest thing that you just need, you know, will build like a lot of momentum because you got it done. Sometimes you just need to do the easiest thing and you need to close some loops so that you can then get to that big thing. So you always have to approach it with grace. Now, why here for business brokers is because what I see a lot, especially in the conversations that I have with business brokers, is that there is a lot of open loops for the brokers I speak with when it comes to marketing and it comes to content and the things that they know they should be doing to put more digital content out there, build that trust and authority online, and they're not doing it. So what happens in the conversations that I have, I talk to brokers, and we also have our impact assessment, and I hear it over and over again. I know I should be X, fill in the blank, doesn't matter what it is, posting on LinkedIn, writing a new blog article, creating a newsletter, launching a podcast, getting on other podcasts, creating a video for YouTube, reaching out to my referral network, could be, you know, implementing a CRM, anything in there. It's just that open loop. It's the should. Now, they say, and it's really important, don't should on yourself, but that should, where in there is that open loop that you need to close? And obviously, there's two ways to go about it. One is just start getting stuff done. You need to write a LinkedIn post. Just sit down and write that LinkedIn post. Just do it. Just do the thing that is nagging at you that you know would be valuable, right? It's not just a nice to have, but you know it would be important for your business short-term and long-term. Just do it. Sit down, write it out, or put it on your calendar and use your calendar as that way to block and tackle for the things that you need to do. There was a great guest who was on a Tim Ferriss podcast that talked about using your calendar instead of your to-do list, because on your calendar, you're blocking out that time. So you know, hey, next Thursday, I know for this hour of the day, I'm going to do this thing. And then I know it's going to get done. And it's not an open loop on my mind because I've already made a commitment to myself down the road. So that's a great way to do it. But just get it done. Figure out morning, afternoon, evening, when do you do things? Weekends. I have a client who, for him, he's so busy during the week that usually I get a lot of stuff for him on the weekends, right? So the things that he reviews, edits, provides, goes through, that's happening when it's in that mode. Just do it. When is that best for you? Just make sure it happens and you're getting it done. The other option, of course, is to find somebody to do it, right? The Dan Sullivan, who, not how, instead of how do I do this or how am I going to find the time or I really don't want to do this thing, how do I start a podcast, how do I even do a newsletter? A lot of that stuff can paralyze you where you have this open loop, you know it would be valuable, you don't know where to start, and then you're just not starting, right? Like we could talk about breaking things down into the smallest step possible. It's like you want to start a newsletter, like how does it work? Like, what could you use to send newsletters and make a template? And you could break it down to the smallest action that you could take. fundamentally, the key is are you going to do it and take that action? Or is it better to find a who instead of a how? And then the who part, who could do that for you? Who could help with the LinkedIn post, the podcast, the newsletter, the YouTube videos, the referral network, the CRM, the outbound emails, the Facebook ads, the phone calls? Like, who could be helping you with that so you can offload, you can delegate, and you can have somebody handle those open loops? Here's the fundamental thing. Whether you do it yourself or you hire somebody to do it for you, you just gotta get good at closing loops. The most productive people I have ever seen are amazing at closing loops. They just get it done, right? Here's a good example. On a meeting with someone, hey, I'm gonna make this intro. Hold on, I'm gonna do this right now. They don't leave that open loop for later and then it's nagging at them. Oh yeah, that's right, I gotta connect so-and-so with so-and-so. They just do it in the moment so that that loop is closed. They can move on, deal with the next thing, close the next loop, move it on. So with this, when you're talking about your content, when you're thinking about all the stuff that you could be putting out there, what loops do you have open? Start by making a list. If we're talking specifically for your content, for your digital authority, for the digital breadcrumbs that will lead people to you and want to hire you to help list their business, make that list. What are all the open things, the should list, the open loops of what you know that you want to create, that you know would be valuable, that you've seen other successful brokers do at scale, and you know that those are important, right? Success leaves clues. So what can you do to follow what others have done? Make that list of all those open loops. And then I recommend start with the easiest ones. Start with the easiest ones and start knocking them down and build some momentum. Instead of trying to go into the gym and do a crazy 2-hour workout if you've never been to the gym before, just sign up for a gym, right? Like, find some shoes. Just take it easy. Go to the gym, take a tour, sign up for a gym, spend 10 minutes on the treadmill, call it a success and work up to it, right? And so which ones can you get done easily? And then which ones is it better, time, energy, money, expertise, to hire somebody to handle, but close those loops? You will thank me. I promise there's strain on you mentally that you're carrying that you don't even realize. And you already have a pretty, I would say stressful, pretty strained mental, intense job with business brokers, the transactions, the relationships, getting everything to go through. Deals are dying all over the place and you're reviving them. That's already enough. Don't have extra open loops that are driving you crazy. As the timer is ticking down, both fast then slow, where there seems to be plenty of time for the hero to make a decision and disable the bomb, but also not enough time. The question is always, will the bomb get diffused? Will they cut the blue wire? Was it supposed to be the red wire? Will they save everybody who was the target of the attack? And will the hero do what the hero does and what we expect them to do? Now, most every time the day is saved, the hero does hero things. And a lot of the times, all of this happens with most people not even realizing there was a crisis, right? A lot of stuff happens behind the scenes. This happens in movies. It happens in real life. We've all seen that where there's headlines after the fact about a terrorist plot that was averted or something happened. And, you know, it's one of those things where, like with the CIA and other three-letter agencies, is that you only really know they exist if they fail. If they do their job, they take care of all the crises, they avoid everything, and nobody even knows that they exist because everyone is sheltered from the stuff that happens. I have been a part of organizations in the past where if we're doing our job with the government and for the people that we were serving and helping, if we do our job, then nobody knows that bad stuff was going to happen. And if we don't do our job or if we miss something, then something bad does happen. And then everyone wants to point the finger. And so it's interesting because this is just a part of our modern society. The problem is you, as a business broker, you are not in the CIA. You are not covert ops. You are not trying to defuse bombs behind the scenes without creating panic. In your world, you need to not live in the shadows. You are not the A-team where only the people who need help and know how to call you can get you to fight for them, right? This isn't an 80s TV show where everything gets wrapped up in an episode and, you know, nothing happens and No one else knows what could have happened because everything was averted, right? You need to be present. You owe it to business owners. Now, why am I talking about this? Well, maybe it's just my view on things. Maybe it's my own pet peeve is that I know there's really good business brokers out there. I also know that those business brokers, many that I see online, are nearly invisible. It's almost like they're trying to be undercover. Now, what's most likely happening is they've built a network, they have referrals, they take in those referrals. Maybe they have too much business and they want to hand it off. Maybe they don't care, right? Maybe they're a superhero that's just got more than enough people to save and they don't want more and they don't care about doing more. But what I would say is that it's very possible that there is a bunch of brokers out there who are not making themselves visible for people to find so that they can help, and they're just flying under the radar. Either they don't know how to do any marketing or advertising, or they just don't want to do it, or they don't think it's necessary, but that part's missing. And here's the biggest thing. This is what I learned years ago when I was focused on sales teams, when I wrote my book, when I had my previous podcast that was focused on sales and persuasion, is that you owe it to business owners. And not just because they need help, right? There's that part where everyone knows the stats. 80% of businesses don't sell. Most business brokers out there don't have a high conversion rate. So even if they take on a listing, they don't close it. And so there's so many reasons that I won't get into here. But if you can help somebody and you have a highly effective process and system for closing transactions, for getting people successfully exited from their business, then you owe it to them to help them. And you owe it to as many people as possible that you can get in front of. Here's the other thing, right? Is not just owing the ones that you can help. It's also your duty, in my own feelings of it. It's your duty to protect people from bad people, right? I firmly believe that. Like, I feel like maybe that's just my underdog side. Maybe it's my side where I want to just help people and protect people and get people to a better place. But I feel like you owe it to them to keep them from harm, almost like the Hippocratic Oath, right? Like, do no harm. Is you owe it to business owners to keep them from somebody else doing harm to them. I have heard stories since my time here working with business brokers and the podcast, behind the scenes conversations I've had. I've heard stories of new brokers, most of the time it's franchise related, but new brokers basically be instructed to just get 10 listings as fast as possible. Whatever price they want, agree to the price, it doesn't matter, put it on the market and use that as the bait to build a list of buyers. All right. So basically take 10 business owners and agree to whatever kind of fanciful idea they have for value, put it on the market, knowing it's not going to work. If you do get an offer, you're going to have a battle with a business owner who had an expectation of here, but now you're getting offers here. And ultimately, they don't care. That broker doesn't care because their goal is to build up a list of buyers that they attract with these businesses. Okay. Then what happens? Scorched earth, 10 businesses, most likely didn't close, all just listings that were just garbage and nothing happened from them. And then now they have this list of 5,000 or more buyers. And then what they can do is go to the 11th business owner and say, I have a list of qualified buyers. I will list your business and here's what we need to do, right? So in my mind, if that's true, might be an urban legend, I think it's probably pretty valid, is that means that those first 10 business owners got nothing. They most likely didn't exit. They're probably a part of that 80% stat that everyone references. And those people didn't have a legacy they could pass on. They didn't have the money that they wanted for retirement. Something happened. Now, I always hope that maybe those 10 people left that terrible broker and then found a good professional one like you watching this. And then basically you were able to save the day. That's terrible. And I have always found from my side, from a sales perspective, is that when I am pushing someone to make a decision that they've told me is the right decision and I agree with them, my persuasive mode is not about me helping them. Many times it's about me helping them so that somebody else doesn't do wrong, right? Like if I was in car sales I would be an amazing car salesperson. And one of the things that would drive me is to keep people from going down the street and then talking to another car salesperson that I'm sure wasn't going to have the same intentions that I would have with them, right? And so part of what you owe people is to make sure that you're doing the right thing and you're keeping them from the wrong outcome, a bad outcome. And that's what you should be focused on. And this is why it's so important. I talked and started this about talking about defusing bombs and heroes and movies and TV shows and covert ops. This is why it's so important. You cannot be undercover. You have to be out there as much as possible. It's unfortunate because a lot of times the slickest salespeople out there are amazing marketers with not the good intentions, right? It's the snake oil salesman that you always hear about. And that it, the loudest person isn't always the best person for a client. And this is why I think it's so important that you've got to do everything you can with your digital marketing, with your content, with long form, medium, short form, paid advertising, newsletters, everything that's under the category of marketing and advertising. You've got to do it. Start somewhere and then keep adding to it so that you have, as Gary Vee likes to call, a marketing Death Star, where you just have this thing that will just attract and go after the clients that you want at scale so that you can help them out. Please don't be a hero behind the scenes. Don't try to be undercover. Don't have a secret identity that nobody knows about. You need to make sure it's out there so that people know how to find you. They find you instead of the other people out there that we all want them to avoid talking to, because I know and you know that a lot rides on their exit and the success of that. And so it's very important that it's done by a professional. So please make sure you talk about, you share, you give your experiences, you create content, you build a machine, you find somebody to help you create that content, you do whatever it takes to make sure that business owners find you.
Thanks for tuning in to the Business Broker Growth Show, hosted by Jason Cutter. If today's episode helped you think differently about how to build your pipeline and grow your business, share it with another broker who's ready to make the shift from hoping for listings to engineering them. Join us again for the next episode of the Business Broker Growth Show, where brokers become trusted advisors.